Yeah, so this treasure chest has a story. I know some of y'all are thinking, what's he going to do, magic up here? You know, what's going on with this treasure chest? It's got a story. I think most treasure chests probably do have stories. I mean, don't yours? What, you don't have a treasure chest in your house? Well, we do. In fact, this one actually belonged to Lisa's great-grandma and Grandpa Johnson. And I suspect it's over 100 years old. Because Grandma and Grandpa Johnson, about 100 years ago, migrated from Sweden to America. In fact, the picture you see on the screen, one of them, you have met and prayed for, some of you, and heard the story of Grandma Walker, who is Lisa's 94-year-old grandma. Well, that little girl on the right, or teenager there, is Grandma Walker. Those are her parents and her grandparents, and the Johnsons have quite a story. You see, what happened was, is when they were in Sweden, they decided that they wanted to come to the new country, to America. I don't know if it was new then. It was new to them. And it was so valuable that they were willing to put everything that they had in there in Sweden behind and load up everything that they wanted to bring with them in this trunk, this treasure chest. And this treasure chest came to America with them. Now, can you imagine for just a minute, all right, just trying to consolidate and to put your earthly possessions into this trunk? I mean, I'm not sure my wife's shoes would fit in this trunk. Just kidding. They would probably come up to about there. Anyway, I think about that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine leaving everything behind and just putting your earthly possessions, your valuables, to a treasure chest like this with your heart set on a different place? You see, to the Johnsons, coming to America, leaving Sweden, was so important to them, so valuable to them, that it cost them just about everything they had so that they could come to a new place. And we talk about and we think about a story like that, and it's easy to tie in to the series that we are in right now called Cost. You see, there's a cost in following Jesus. The question is, are we willing to leave everything behind to follow him? And Jeff did a great job last week of asking that question, because there's obstacles in the way. And how would you answer that question? Would you leave everything behind to follow him? We met a rich young ruler who could not say yes to that question, and he went away sad. Well, today we're going to see what Jesus says about our treasure, about what we have packed up in our treasure chest. And I think we're going to see that we all have a treasure chest that has things stored up in one of two places. We have a treasure chest of our lives, the things that we value that can be found. And again, one of two places, just two. And I know that's kind of hard to imagine in an age where you've got a closet in your house where you store your treasures. You probably have an attic. Maybe you've got plastic tubs full of your stuff. In fact, today you can go down and you can rent an entire storage unit just to put your treasures in. It's crazy. Because treasures matter to us. And your treasure and where you store your treasure matters. But today we're going to talk about treasures, not just earthly possessions that you can fit in a chest, but treasures like time. Our treasures like abilities. Treasures like the material things, yes, but even money and how we deal with that. And storing up treasures even like people and the relationships that we have in our lives. You see, our hearts will tell us where our treasure is, and our treasure chests, much like the Johnson's treasure chest, will tell us where our hearts really long to be. Jesus put it this way. He said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Matthew 6:21. Now this word Jesus uses, treasure, it's a very interesting word. It's the word thesaurus. Maybe you've heard it before. See, when the word thesaurus means it's a storehouse for precious things. We use the word today because a thesaurus is a storehouse of precious things, isn't it? What's a thesaurus? Yes, it's a storehouse for words. So we go to a thesaurus and we find a treasure chest full of words. Well, that's what this word means. Jesus literally says that where our treasure chest is, that's where our hearts will be found. Also, And these words were said by Jesus in his most famous sermon, most important sermon, I think, Matthew chapter 6, verses 6, starting in verse 19. So go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. And while you're doing that, I just kind of give you a little bit of a background. We kind of know and understand, and we worship and we've been singing to Jesus because we know that Jesus was God in the flesh. And he came to earth and he taught remarkable things that only God could teach. And one of those topics that Jesus taught about, probably most often, was money. It was important to him to get that truth out to us. And Jesus was not against money. He wasn't against us having money. What he was for the responsible use of money. In fact, Jesus was pro-treasure. And Jesus, when it comes to our treasures and our finances and our money and how we handle things, we have to know that Jesus is not just, you know, for these, but Jesus is for us. He is for you. He loves you, and he loves us enough to shoot straight with us about this very important topic. He's for us following him. He is for us understanding who God is. He is for us going to heaven one day. And unfortunately, money, the love of money, often gets in the way of that happening. That's what we learned about last week. So Jesus, this sermon, it's about following him. It's about living for God. It's about the keys to life, what we need to know about loving God and loving others and overcoming things like worry, anxiety, stress, and yes, he talks about money. So if Jesus can talk about it, I hope it's okay for us to have this discussion today. And speaking of money, by the way, the writer of this book, the one who is recording the words of Jesus, his name was Matthew. And Matthew, of all things, was a tax collector. April's coming. So Matthew knew a little bit about money, and I believe that when he heard Jesus speak these truths, he heard them with great conviction. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 33, and I want to focus on the first few verses here. And as we read, I just want you to kind of think, man, maybe like a treasure hunt, kind of see what two places Jesus explains the places that we can keep our treasures stored up. Here we go, verse 19. Jesus says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He says the eye is the lamp of the body, and if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You know, Matthew 6 is just full of treasure. I hope you'll just kind of read that. We'll go back to that in a second. But man, it's like a treasure hunt. And I don't know if you noticed or not, but did you spot the two places? The two places that Jesus says we store up our treasures. It's possible that we store up our treasures. Did you find them there? You remember? Did you see them? You see, our hearts will tell us what's in the chest, and our hearts will tell us where that treasure chest can be found. Is your heart on earthly things? Is your heart on heavenly things? Our treasures will tell the truth. Our treasures will answer that question. Is your heart on earthly things, or is your heart on heavenly things? Our heart, where is it? Our treasures will tell the truth. And God tells us that one place we can store up treasures is, did you catch it? Say it out loud if you know. On earth. The first one here, Jesus says, is on earth. God tells us the one place we can store up our treasures is on earth. We're talking about earth stuff. We're talking about where our hearts are. And when we set our hearts on earthly things, on things of the earth, there's all kinds of problems. And Jesus starts going into them. So check this out, verse 19. Treasures on earth, first of all, are destructible. They're destructible. They are temporary. Listen to what he says. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin being like rats, they can destroy them. Destructible. Where thieves break in and steal. Jesus' point here is that earthly treasures are temporary. They can be destroyed. They can be eaten, even by moth and by rats, and they decay. They get stolen. And y'all know this is true. If you've ever had someone break into your house and steal stuff, like a video camera, or maybe some loose change in your wife's jewelry, your favorite Steeler hat, your boxer shorts. True story. Who in the world breaks in and steals a grown man's, but never mind. You know this is true if you've ever spent money on the latest and greatest sound system so that you could go home and play your 45 records on them. What? Or your 8-track tapes. Or your cassette tapes. But you can't even find a CD player anymore. The other day in the office, we're saying, does anybody even remember what an iPod is? Because things wear out. They get old. We want the latest and the greatest. They're temporary. We want the newest, and we start going after more and more. We were talking and reflecting back on video game systems. And thinking, oh man, can you remember when you just had to have the latest cutting edge video game? Pong. Like, what is that? Look it up. And then Atari came out, and it was like, woohoo! Man, check it out, hours in front of the Atari. And then came the Sega Genesis, you know, and then the N64. I mean, whoa! I mean, when the N64 came out, it was like amazing, right? And then, of course, you know, the PlayStation 1 and 2, temporary, and the 3 and 4. GameCube, and you know, it just goes on and on, and even today, I bet you're thinking, oh man, for Christmas next year, I've got to get the next one, because they're temporary, they get old, they wear out, destructible. Jesus points to moths, and he points to vermin, because they eat stuff, like food and clothes. Moths, famous for eating clothes. Vermin, rats, were famous for getting in the grain towers and eating the grain, the food source. Temporary, destructible, and it's still true today. And especially when we talk about money. Y'all know this is true. Money is good to have. And nobody in here says, no, thank you. You know, I don't want to have any money, okay? We do want to have money, but if you trust in money for happiness, if you trust in money for security and hope and purpose, you got another thing coming to you. Because money doesn't bring those things. You just ask the richest of the rich, and they will tell you that life is not found in money. It's temporary. You can lose it now or you can lose it later, but you can't take it with you when you go. And if you're like me today, you're just, wow, you know, I need to test my heart. I need to understand this better. You want to test your heart in this. Ask yourself this question. I got to ask myself this question. How would I feel? How do I feel? How do I react when something that I own breaks, like my car or my computer? Don't answer that if you work with me, all right? Or something gets stolen. How do we react? Or the stock market goes down. Or when it's time to die, to leave this earth and everything that we own behind. How will we react? Well, Jesus gives us some ideas. Not only are they our treasures of the earth destructible, but the treasures of the earth can lead to darkness. To darkness. Verse 23, look what he says. The eye of the lamp, I love how he ties this together. The eye of the lamp, the eye is the lamp of the body, but if your eyes are unhealthy, then your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Jesus is tying the treasures of earth to this idea. Maybe we just want more and more and more. We want to get, and want to do, and we just kind of get caught. And pretty soon, you know what happens. It can lead to darkness. One way it leads to darkness is the darkness of discontent. Discontent. We're just not happy with what we have. You know, advertisers paid $5.2 million for a 30-second commercial last weekend during the Super Bowl to make you feel discontent. It's time to go to the gym. It's time to get a new car. It's time to get that product. You know, I mean, think about it a little bit. I mean, smart pock. I mean, you just like, sorry, we do that. It's to create that discontent. Darkness, or the darkness of distraction. Distraction, we think about it. We get so distracted from what's most important in life because of earthly treasures. We go to work and we work long hours upon hours to spend the money that we make so that we can go in debt more, so that we can work more, so that we can spend more, so that we can worry about it. And when we're done worrying about it, then we stress some more, and then we go to work some more, and we get caught in this cycle of go to work and do this, and we over and over and day after day. It's unhealthy. It's darkness. And then if we're not careful, that sin can, or that darkness, that distraction can turn to the sin of coveting, of wanting what other people have so badly that we will do whatever it takes to get it. Think about the Ten Commandments and coveting, man, it's right there. Or stealing. It's darkness. People will steal what they don't have to get what they think they want. It's darkness. Or we turn to making money illegally, making money immorally. Darkness, even murder. When people will kill another human being to get something that they want. Darkness, even suicide happens because people lose focus and are blinded by the darkness of wanting more and more and more treasures of this world and finding out that they just don't measure up and they're coming up empty and dark. God warns us about this, not just Jesus' words, but later the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, chapter 6, 1 Timothy 6. Listen to the words that God gives us. It says, "For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that." Listen to this. "Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money," not money itself, but the love of money, "is a root of all kinds of evil." Look at this darkness. Some people, eager for money, man, we know this is true, have wandered from the faith. Jesus even told a parable about this earlier. They've wandered from the faith in these words, but they pierced themselves with many griefs. Pierced themselves. Putting our hope and our treasures on earth can lead to darkness. They could be destroyed, and also treasures on earth will divide our hearts from God. Divide our hearts from God. That's what Jesus is getting at in Matthew 6, 24, when he says, "No one can serve two masters. You'll either hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And when Jesus says we can't serve both God and money, he's not saying you can't have both God and money. He's saying you can't serve both God and money. He's not against money. He's not against saving. He's not against spending. He just knows that loving earthly money, that putting our hope and our love and our worship into treasures will split our hearts in two, or even worse, it'll shred our heart to pieces and leave the scraps for God. That's why Jesus warned his listeners in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, listen to what he writes in verse 15. Jesus says, "Watch out." This is right from the Lord. He says, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." That's not where life is found. And then with a parable about a rich fool, Jesus explains the danger of storing up things for ourselves versus being rich towards God. Rich towards God. Remember that. You see, storing up treasures on earth is an empty pursuit, but there is a better place. There's a better place, and Jesus tells us about, that we can store up our treasure, a better place where we can be rich towards God, a better place for our hearts to be. When it comes to our treasures, we can decide to store up our treasures in heaven. In heaven. Heaven things, not earth things. We can set our hearts on things of heaven. And things of heaven, heavenly treasures, they're not temporary and they can't be destroyed. They are forever. Forever. Look at verse 20, Matthew 6. store up for yourselves, Jesus says, treasures in heaven where moth and vermin do not destroy. They're indestructible. Where thieves do not, they're unstealable. They do not break in and steal. These are forever treasures, treasures in heaven. The things of God, the things of God's kingdom, they are eternal. Eternal, and we can literally pack our treasure chest, our hearts, set our hearts on things of eternity, eternal things that matter most with Jesus, and we can store up treasures that last forever and ever and ever. Now, y'all know about lifetime guarantees, okay? I bet when it comes to your earthly treasures, some of you in the room today would say, you know what, I'll go out of my way to buy a product that has a lifetime guarantee, right? Now, I worked for Sears, okay? Love my job at Sears, and Sears has these tools called Craftsman tools. All right, and they come with a lifetime guarantee. And it's pretty amazing, man. People would come in, you know, like 20 years after they bought it, my wrench broke. We'd have to give them a brand new, you know, Craftsman tool. In fact, I bet right now if you've got some broken Craftsman tools, you can take it to Sears and get it replaced. If you can find a Sears store. Temporary, okay? What Jesus is talking about here is not a lifetime guarantee. He is talking about an eternal guarantee that goes far beyond a lifetime. He is talking about eternal things, things that have been bought by the blood of Jesus, who came from heaven to earth and lived a perfect life before our eyes and died on the cross for our sins and then rose from the grave to live eternally at the right hand of God. He came back to life so that you and I could have life, not just life here on earth, but life eternally in heaven forever and ever and ever. It just, man, it makes everything in the world, all these earthly treasures, just pale in comparison to heavenly treasures. They're forever. And not only that, but treasures in heaven are full. They're not empty, and they're full of light, not darkness. Look at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. And Jesus says, if your eyes are healthy, then your whole body will be full of light. You see, healthy eyes are set on heavenly treasures, healthy treasures. And we can literally pack into our hearts the things of God, eternal things, like following Jesus with eternity in mind, like truly loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving others as ourselves, like worship, like prayer, getting into the Word and letting the Word get into us. The Word of God, eternal things, serving His kingdom, the mission of the church, heavenly treasures. And in these heavenly treasures, we find contentment, we find purpose, we find peace and love, and we find eternal life through Christ. And then we can bring that life and we can bring that light into the world so that others can find it too. Jesus gives us an example in these following verses, 25 through 32. I just love what he says here. I won't get into all of it, but he gives us an example. He says this question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? It's like, look around. It's like the eye is the lamp of the body. Look around. See how God cares for the birds and the flowers and the grass. Open your eyes. And then he says, do not worry, because worry is unhealthy. So he gives us some healthy advice. He says, don't worry saying, what should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear? No, for the pagans run after all of these things. Those are earthly treasures, but your heavenly Father knows you need them. These are words of health right here, words of life right here. And the best way to be rich, I believe Jesus is saying, is right before your eyes. It's in healthy eyesight. Heavenly eyesight. And instead of seeing what you don't have, be thankful. Treasures in heaven. Instead of worrying, trust God. In fact, you want to be rich? Be content with what you have. Stop seeing. Stop running after what the pagans run after, Jesus says. The things of the world, these earthly treasures, see differently. We see different than the world does. I love what Mike Baker says. He's the author of the book that Josh told you about that we're reading together, that cost book. Mike says the best way, do you want to know how to get rich quick? You know what the best get-rich-quick scheme is? Be happy with what you have. Best way to get rich, be happy with what you have. Boom, there it is. Healthy eyesight, rich towards God, full of light, and treasures in heaven also bring faithfulness to God. They reflect our faithfulness to God. It's not a heart divided or against God. It's a heart that's one with God. Look, that's what he means in verse 24 when he says, no one can serve two masters. You're going to hate one and love the other. Who will it be? Or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. What will it be? You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is saying, choose well. Choose well. Look, there's nothing greater in life. Nothing greater than living with and being loved by our eternal Father in heaven. And that's what God wants. He wants to love on us. God doesn't need your money. Boop. Like what? No. God doesn't need your money. He wants you. And he wants you so bad that he sent his one and only son to buy you back. He gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that that could happen. That's why Jesus came to earth. That's why he lived that perfect life. That's why he died on the cross and rose from the grave to give us life forever. And it represents, shows us in living color that God is forever faithful to us so that we can be forever faithful to him. So we store up our treasures. And where we store up our treasures matters. And it shows our faithfulness to a God who is faithful to us. It shows our love to a God who loved us first. Like Jesus said, we can't serve both God and money. We will be divided one way or the other. Choose well. So I want to urge you today. You just scroll down the end of Matthew 6 and you'll find a verse that I live my life by. This is my favorite verse in the Bible. Jesus said, Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you as well. Whew, that is a promise from God. Rich towards God. And if you're like me today and you're standing here and thinking, okay, but how does this happen? I mean, what do we do? Where do we start? You know, it starts with me. You know, I love you guys, man. I love this church. I love each and every one of you. And you know, and I think we love each other and we look around at the people that we're sitting with and we come to church with and we worship with. But right now, this starts with you, the person in your chair, the person, me, looking in the mirror back at myself and really doing a treasure check, not a treasure chest, but a treasure check on our own hearts for God. Where are we today? And ask questions like this. How is my heart of worship towards God? What have I done this week to worship God versus what have I done this week to worship money? How is my heart of worship towards God? Is it God or money? Choose well. I ask myself this question even as I walk through my week and I think about things. Am I worshiping God and using money? Or am I worshiping money and using God? Am I worshiping God and using my health? Or am I worshiping my health and using God to good health? And maybe you're in church this morning, or maybe you said some prayers this week. Maybe not because you're worshiping God at all, but because you think God is a way to get what you want. This is mirror talk for me. I don't know if this means anything to you, but we need to repent of that and say, God, no, you come first. I'm going to worship you, and I'll use the things you give me, and I'll manage the things you give me, which is where this next thing comes in. How is my heart towards God's resources? How is my heart for God's resources? And this is a fancy Bible word called stewardship. Stewardship. We're going to talk about this later in the series, but what this simply means is that our treasures, even our earthly treasures, are God's gifts to us. Everything belongs to God. We need to understand that. Everything belongs to God. And we can't trust God for eternal treasure in heaven and then not trust God with our present treasures now. Stewardship. Stewardship is trusting God with our treasures now by managing what he has given us and managing what he has given us for his glory and his kingdom. That's what stewardship is, managing God's resources for God's kingdom. We've got a tool available called the Stewardship Challenge. If you haven't picked one of these up yet, at the Next Steps desk. I want to invite you to do that. They're also available online. They're pretty short, but a lot of great teaching and Bible. You can just go through this in just a few minutes and see what God says about stewardship and give you some really great ideas about how to apply that to your life. Pick one of these up today if you haven't done that. The Stewardship Challenge, and it goes a little bit deeper into this idea of managing God's resources for God's kingdom. How is my heart for God's resources? And that leads to ask, how is my heart for God's kingdom? Kingdom resources, how is my heart for God's kingdom? And it will show with a kingdom attitude and a kingdom action. I've said this before up here. Just something very important for me to remember, maybe for you too. Kingdom attitude, kingdom action. The kingdom attitude is generosity. The kingdom action is giving. Giving is an expression of our generosity. And here's the thing that's funny about generosity is that, you can be generous and not be a Christ follower. Some of y'all know some very generous people that don't follow Jesus, but you can't be a Christ follower and not be generous. That is a kingdom attitude, and it leads us to kingdom action, which is giving. So when Jesus writes in Luke, and says in Luke chapter 12, Luke, in fact, it's funny how Dr. Luke heard these words of Jesus as well as Matthew did. Luke 12, verse 31 through 34, says, "Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." Sound familiar? "Do not be afraid." We just sang that song. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." Even God has a kingdom, especially God, has a kingdom attitude of generosity and a kingdom action of giving. You see it there? And then Jesus goes on, heart check. Listen to these words. "Sell your possessions and give to the poor." What? "Provide purses for yourselves." Again, it's heart check. Take care of yourselves too. "Provide purses for yourselves, but that will not wear out. Treasures in heaven," Jesus says, "that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Kingdom attitude, kingdom action, generosity, giving, treasures in heaven. You know, if you missed last week, then you might have missed Jeff's report at the end of the sermon where he let us know that we're not going to be able to pay off our mortgage by November of this year. Now, this was already a bold prayer because this debt on our building was already originally scheduled to be paid off in like 2022 or something like that. So to pay it off by November of this year was a bold prayer. Anyways, and we're not going to be able to pay it off because, praise God, we paid it off last week. That is an amazing thing. So if you understand this, if I understand this right, that means we can burn the note of the mortgage on this building. We are debt free, y'all. I mean, God has given us, that is a blessing from God. And do you know why? Do you know why? A kingdom attitude and kingdom action of God's people for God's kingdom, generous giving. For 10 years, people have given faithfully to the Imagine campaign to reduce our debt. Many of you, week in and week out, generously give to the mission of Jesus right here at CCW, and then we take some of that money, we put it away, and we pay our bills because we are good stewards, and we are responsible, and we take every single dollar seriously. We need to do that, and we do that. Use them wisely, and because of your faithfulness, because of your generosity, and because of your giving, we can celebrate what God has done through you. And especially, I've got to tell you about a lady who God touched. I'm not mentioning any names. I didn't even know her. I never even saw this lady, but her kingdom attitude and her kingdom action is a reason that we can celebrate today. You see, years ago, when she came, God moved through the people of this church, and she was touched by CCW in a number of ways, I guess, and so much so that when she wrote out her will and testament, her last will and testament, she left her cash assets to this church and to her son, who would then also give to the church. You can get this full story from Jeff over here. He tells it better than I do. But it's just amazing to me that we're talking about a lot of money. Kingdom action. I'm going to give this money to God's kingdom because my treasures are in heaven and not on earth. And we can celebrate because of that. She believes so much in the work that God is doing right here through you at CCW that she gave her treasures to God's kingdom here. And we praise God for that. You see, treasures matter, and where we store them matter. And as Christ followers here at CCW, we've got a vision, man. We want a vision to make disciples who make disciples, who become disciple makers, who then become kingdom leaders, who change their world for Christ. And we are on a mission towards heaven, and we want everybody to know, and we want our entire community to know that we love them and that God loves them, and we want them to go to heaven with us. And God will fund that mission all day long, you guys. That's what we're about. And God's heart is for his kingdom. God's heart is for heavenly things. He sent his son Jesus to prove that to us. The question is then, are our hearts aligned with the heart of God for heavenly treasures? For eternity, is your heart on earthly things? Is your heart on heavenly things? You see, our treasures will tell the truth. So it's time. I mean, what do we do now? Well, I believe it's time for us to go hit the ATM right now. Now, I don't mean empty out your bank accounts and, you know, and do that. Not that that would, no, don't do that, okay? ATM, treasures in heaven, our abilities, our time, and our money. Just think about it. Every time you see an ATM, what are my abilities, my time, my money? You see, when it comes to abilities, we all have treasures of things we can do. All of us do. We all have abilities. Back in November, we did a series on this called Shape, and we talked about our spiritual gifts and our heart and our abilities, our personality, our experience, and how if we put those things towards eternity, those are our treasures in heaven, that God will actually use them for his kingdom, and he does, with a heart towards heaven, attitude, action, generously using your abilities for the kingdom of God. It's called service, and here at CCW, we see it every day. You guys are here from the minute you come in the parking lot. You can jump in with your abilities. You can become a parking lot person. Thank God for those guys out there that do that work. From the minute you walk in, the greeters, to the cafe, to the preschool workers, all of us have abilities and you can use them for the service. And this week was amazing because of your kingdom attitude, generosity, and action, a number of you have brought in food to give to the community. We provide these food boxes for people that need them, and you brought in all kinds of food. And then on Thursday, a small army of people came in and started to sort through that food. Tables and food everywhere, and started putting them in the boxes, using their abilities to serve God so that the people in our community can know the love of God and hopefully become part of the kingdom of God one day. Using your abilities, time. We all have treasure of time. The question is, how are we using it? We can answer that question with one look at our calendars. How are we spending our time? We can answer that question by looking at our list of priorities. How are we spending our time? Treasures in heaven? Well, one way to do it is by spending time with God. And that's the best way to store up treasures in heaven is to be in God's word. Josh told you about that cost book earlier. Grab one of those books, take it home, 10, 15 minutes a day in God's word and reflecting on it, and thinking about it. Storing up treasures in heaven. Take time to be with God. It will change your life, not just for today, but for all of eternity. Small groups are another way to spend your time. There's probably no better way than to get together with other men, other women, other couples, and take time to grow, to share, to encourage each other. Time. In fact, this week, just take time away from the earthly treasures, away from your pursuit of everything the earth has to offer, and be alone with Jesus. Breathe. Chill out. Focus on him in your time. Focus on heaven and its treasures. And money, M, ATM, money. We all have the treasures of money. All of us. The question is, how do we spend it? Do we save it? At the end of the day, we get this money and we say, where'd it go? Where'd it go? What happened to it? Well, one look at our budget will tell us the truth about how we spend our money. In fact, most of us just need a really good dose of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. That's why we offer it, you know, around here a few times a year and even on Wednesday nights right now. And sometimes it's maybe not that extreme. Maybe sometimes we just need to ask this question, is this a need or is this a want? What I'm about to spend my earthly treasure on, is it a need or is it a want? And how can I rethink this? How can I rethink this? You see, we all have these kind of decisions to make on a daily basis. And by the way, if if you're going through a time right now where you don't have what you need, you don't have food and clothes and shelter, that's what we're here for. Let your needs be known. The body of Christ, we want to be able to help you and walk you through that time. As an act of worship with our money, our members, our staff, our elders, we prioritize weekly tithing. We give 10% of our income back to God, heavenly treasures. I want to invite you to give that a try as well. In fact, as a church, we give 14% of everything that comes in to our missionaries around the world. Men like Sansurin who are doing this great work in Haiti. In fact, we give quite a bit to Sansurin because of the great work that he's doing. And so it's not just here at CCW, it is around the world that you are making a difference with a kingdom attitude and kingdom action. In fact, if you want to know more about Sansurin, just go right on out to the mission desk today and have a five-minute conversation with this man. And I promise, I promise your heart will open up to probably a brand new place for you to store up treasures in heaven. In a few weeks, three of us are going to take a mission trip to India. I'm really excited about it. We're going to go there to visit one of our missionaries named Vivek Lal. He's got a mission in Middle India for his kids, and it's called His Kids. And what they do is they minister to blind and deaf orphans over there, the neediest of the needy. And they take them in, and they take care of them, and they share Jesus with them. And I'm really looking forward to visiting there because I've been wanting to go for years. We've been friends for a long, long time. And Vivek made a need known to us that those kids need beds to sleep in. Just don't have them. Need somewhere for them to sleep. And he told us that those beds would cost $10,000. That bunkhouse would cost $10,000. So we've been talking to God about it. And I really believe, and I'm really asking God, and I'm going to ask you too, that when we go over there in March, that we might be able to bring him a gift of $10,000 to build those bunk beds and to provide places for those kids and so much more. So starting today, if you would like to give to that mission, you can. Just go online to Mid India Christian or maybe drop a note in the offering, however you want to do that. It's between you and God. But if that's something you want to participate in, you can do that starting today. And on March 1st, we're going to actually take up a special offering for the kids of India, so we can bring it over there with them. I'm excited about it. And I know God's going to move in mighty ways. And if we raise more than that, I think we will. We can do even more. Do even more. Heavenly treasures, changing lives through God, that you here and around the world, people storing up their treasures, not on earth, but in heaven. And like anything valuable in life, taking our next steps is going to cost us something. It's going to cost us. It's going to cost us treasure. Our treasures matter. And our hearts will go where our treasure is. And our treasure chests will go where our hearts long to be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So with our hearts on heaven, I pray that you and I together as a church will count the cost today, that we will be willing to leave earthly stuff behind and follow Jesus and live our lives storing up treasures where they will last forever and they matter the most, treasures in heaven for his glory and his honor alone. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're going to pray and we're going to sing that song again. We have nothing to fear. And maybe today you're like going, oh man, all that sounds good, but I just don't know. Make these words ring true in our hearts. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, thank you so much for being a God of generosity and a God who showed that generosity with giving us your one and only Son, that those who believe in him will not perish but have eternal life. And as a response to that, God, everyone in this room, God, I pray that we would give our lives back to you in worship, that we would worship you with our hearts and our minds and our souls and our strength. We'll worship you with our abilities and with our time and with our money and with all that we are from the inside out, because you are worthy, God. We want to live eternally for you and with you. So God, thank you for that. God, I pray a blessing on each person in this room. God, I pray that you would stir in our hearts, starting with my own, of how to make this message real, to make the words of Jesus real in our lives, to know that we can store up treasures in heaven. And where our treasures are, our hearts will be also, God. Bind our hearts with yours. Align our hearts with yours. It's my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.